Everybody please quiet down. Okay. So we're back to where we're at. And really on my question, I was just trying to ask the folks that voted on the concept plan if you understood when we had my question is really, instead of having 250 that went up to 290 apartments that are rental, could it be 250 and the additional 40 that the developer added because you want to keep the same space and room that or bedroom management. Could those other 40 be flats that are in the same building? So I'm just trying to make that clear. And I was trying to find out from folks. You can answer me. If we're going to table, you can just give me the answer in writing. But I wanted to see what the other council folks thought. Just is that something that they thought might be important or not important? And if you don't think it's important, then maybe it doesn't matter to anybody else.
That's what you're looking for.
No, I just want you. Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Or kind of deliberate. So I'm just asking other folks the question.
If it's a doable situation,
if it's something that makes sense,
if it makes sense, if they can swing it, it's something that, yeah, would I be okay with that? Yes.
No, did anybody else think about that either?
What is the question?
When we went up from, well, I don't want to say we. We'll get to that in a minute, because then I'll ask. I guess you already have an answer or a thought. The question was, the original concept plan, it actually had a range of 220 to 350 or 330, something like that. But when we looked on the one sheet, it was a little more defined, and they had 248 bedroom units, and I'm going to say nominally 250. And if you look at the development agreement, that's what spoke of 250. And then as you talk to the school district, and the school district said, hey, look, we want a two-bedroom limit, that caused the developer to say, okay, well, we can limit two bedrooms, but if we want to keep the same office space, we can put in more rental units. So we're going to use the same number of bedroom managed. We're going to have the same number of bedrooms, maybe even a little less, same number of space. And my only thought was, when I thought about it, 250 seemed pretty important to me as what I thought I was voting on, or let's say a cap. And did other council people think that was something that might be important? We kept it at 250 and asked the developer to see if we could increase could be the 40 increase that are in the same rental buildings could be owner-occupied units or flats. And so there are only a couple of us here when we talk that. So I was just wondering what you thought, that's all.
They'll still be four-story buildings.
Oh, no, you're right there.
And we don't want that next to the bar. It's that simple.
Okay.
I don't know if you're putting in a spot these things, but I think the 240, 250, or 290 doesn't make much difference if you're going to give permission for that 250. So, to me, it does 250, 290 doesn't make difference to me.
Okay, so we're somewhere in between. Now, do you guys have that? Could you look at that and respond, or maybe you would tell me why it's not something that would have been looked at?
Good evening. My name is Molly North. I'm the CEO of Al Meyer. I'll step back. I promise I won't try to take too much time here, but if I step back for a minute, when we start with a concept plan, we start with an idea that we present to you. Do you like it? What do you like? And then if we take a great deal of time. We take a great deal of time. You actually can hear yourself quite well up here.
Yeah.
You can, and then you take a great deal of time to work the plan. And always the concept plan is different than the final development plan because you're refining the process. So when we brought the concept plan, there was always a plan for this mixed-use building in here that was all for rental. We have never considered condos in this area that we call the district. This is the area of the development that's really intended to be this 18-hour area that's very alive, that's got some hotel components to it, that's got this mixed-use facility with all the retailers that are looking for all those people to support their businesses, that are going to support the corporate headquarters that are next door. I really think of this as a transition to this 18-hour community, to something that allows you to transition into a more peaceful living experience that people expect in Blue Ash. So certainly I see condo opportunity in this overall development, and we've conceptualized that to be in the Parkside area. And then you get down to Daventry and you get that diversity of housing experience that we've talked about from concept plan to now. So that's the really, really in what we believe is the right product for this development. When you get to the practicalities of can you fit 40 condo units inside a 290-unit residential development, in practicality, I'm not going to call it impossible because we're developers, we do impossible stuff all the time, but it's near impossible. For condos, you've got to do pre-sales. I mean, to sit and wait on pre-sales on a project, that's some time. I mean, that's some significant amount of time, and I'm not saying we're not willing to wait, but where your financial markets are going to be for this stage of the development, you've got a corporate user saying, when are you ever going to deliver these amenities that you're saying are really going to be here to support me? Well, I don't know. We've got to get these pre-sales. I mean, this is something's got to come first in this development, and it is the thing that you want the most, which is the corporate user. But I'm telling you, I've got, you know, ready here, and I've got corporate users. We respond to, I'm going to say, 3 to 6 headquarters a year. That's more than we did in the past couple of years, and they are not looking to be on an island. They want to know what amenities are there around them, and we're not just most here to get a project started. We're not even the primary developer on the mixed-use project. We're an office developer. We're in this for office, and we're creating an office, we're creating an environment here that supports a corporate user. That's what we specialize in. So again, back on the condo units, I certainly don't want to appear inflexible or that we aren't willing to consider anything that you want us to look at. I do believe we're willing to consider anything you'd ever ask us. Now, before this vote, after we start construction, we're going to be in Blue Ash for the next 20 years or longer. We look forward to a partnership on this. Putting condos in this, it's not financeable. You can't get the pre-sales. It's not a project that ever gets started.
Okay, I just thought I'd ask the question because I know I've heard that from other folks.
May I make one more comment? We have been, as has been mentioned many times by other speakers, in this for 22 months. Some of you have been here for the concept plan, some not. We've hosted all the meetings. We've made all the presentations. Some people have been here, some people have not. We have tabled this vote for a long time. Your banker only waits so long for you to say, I've got entitlements, before they say, you know, we really need to relook at the terms of this deal. And we're at risk of that. We expected to have entitlements, you know, back in September, and now we're here in January, and I feel have worked through the process of education and are glad to do more. But I do feel these two concessions that we offer you today are very straightforward. And they are in direct response to the things that we heard and have been hearing and I feel are being very responsive to in a way, quite frankly, that as a developer we have never done before. And it is showing our commitment to this project and our very strong commitment to bringing the commercial component in. We're very confident in it. And $1 million, congrats to you, Councilman Lee. I'm glad that you have $1 million. It means a lot to us. That's big bucks. We're a small business, too, and $1 million on our bottom line is a substantial chunk of change. So that's putting a lot of skin in the game.
I can't believe that was even offered.
I was just asking one clarification. So on the 250, here's what I'm really getting. The other council folks, you guys are kind of saying, well, they can do it, it's going to be great, but the difference between 250 and 290, doesn't really make a difference in the deliberation from your standpoint. Is that where you're at? Okay. I just want to bump that over with the council tonight to see where you're at. Because that was always something that kind of bothered me if it went up to 250. I just want to see if anybody else.
It's the same square footage. It's because the school systems requested to have more single bedroom units in order to be able to absorb what is coming into our school system. So I think, you know, it's the same square footage. It doesn't matter whether it's, even if you take away more of the two bedroom units, well, then you're going to increase to more one-bedroom units because you're not going to lop off a part of the building just to keep it at 250.
Yeah. My only thought on this was it's the same building. It just has condos in it. Owner-occupied and non-occupied. So it really wouldn't be a difference in what the building would look like or any of that. But I just want to see what other council folks thought about in general. And I got the answer. But I do understand that that's very, very hard to do, to mix those two. Now, I'd like to hear about Rich's commitment if you ever get a chance. Because as I said, I was that supporter. So if you do vote on it tonight, I got some things to do in the next, before the vote, we have some time, maybe it just clarifies where I'm at. Because I just think it would mean a lot if we had something in there. But and for another number of reasons, our businesses out there have employees that do want to buy. And we may just get these products. So, you know, if we had some of that in there, that at least makes it a little bit more diverse from the standpoint of, you know, owner, some of that people buy exactly in versus rent. And it could be better for our businesses that are out there. Because whether it's 200 units that are rental and 100 that are going in, they really don't typically care. They wonder if they have choice, I think. So, and that was all I just want to get out of the council meeting. Lost myself, you know, clear part of where I was at. As far as the caps that were provided, you know, something else you brought tonight, I think that's a good thing that it responded to what we asked at the other meeting. So I think that's a good thing. Because I do recognize that this community is becoming, I think people were saying almost 40% rental. It's not that high, and most of these figures are kind of based on old numbers, but we are approaching or going past with the units that will put in 35% rental units, including housing rental. Okay, so that's why it's important to look at it. Now, what's the type number? I don't really know. So, that comes important to people that are out there. So, I do want to say thanks for the chaos. I think that the house was leading on that. The one that we have performance bonds, I might think a little longer. I don't know if I can digest it all in the next 10 to 15 minutes, so I would support tabling it. I think that's a good thing. I just think we need, as some of the residents said, a little time just to make sure we understand what it means and what it is. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. If we're going to table it, then we're not going to vote, so I don't know why any other to talk about that.
Can I take a second? You're Molly, right? When you mentioned that it's delayed by us, it was not delayed only one time. That in September, last November, that you were going to propose, but then you pulled it out. After that, it was the last meeting, you proposed this and you extended to this meeting. So, it is not like we extended for 6 months or 1 year or something. I just want to make sure that the way you put it down, that means we have extended this, so I want to be clear out that. And another thing is that since you have accepted the request what we have, but I like to see that we need to table this just for 15 days or the next 1 month, and then we come back and we vote. And I think you did a good changes that you have told us. That's what my 2 points are. So I think we should table it now.
Anybody else?
I'd like to say something. So I realize that there's a bunch of newbies up here, right? There's three of us here that are new to council. But I took this job seriously when I accepted this position. And I went out and I did my homework. I did a lot of homework on this. I may only be here since December 1st, but I did a lot of research. And I talk to quite a lot of people who are professionals in this industry because I had no idea what was going on. I'd heard about this. We've been hearing about this for 2 years, more than 2 years. So for anyone to say that we're rushing into anything here, it's just not true. This is not anything that's been rushed. In no way, shape, or form is this rushed. So, first of all, I wanted to say that I hear your passion, and I hear your concerns, and I love the passion that you have for this city, and I think that's a wonderful thing. I moved here when I was 3 years old, and I promise you, that was a long time ago. So thank you for your passion. I share that passion about the city of Blue Ash. When I moved here, there was a pony keg on Kenwood Road. And I'm not talking about a pony keg that you can go in like a 7-Eleven. This was a pony keg where they pulled up with a horse-drawn carriage. It was raised up so that you could load things onto the bed of the carriage. That's how long I've been in Blue Ash. That little gas station or garage that you're talking about, that was a flourishing business here when I was in Blue Ash Elementary School. The United Dairy Farmers was where Bruger Bagels is in that area. Blue Ash was way out there. When my parents decided to move here, their friends who lived in Kennedy Heights said, "Why in the world would you want to move out to Blue Ash?" And it was, ugh. And that's where the community has started. And because of the vision of our forefathers many, many, many years ago, and my council people know these dates way better than I do, because of the vision they had, we are sitting here today. And we have got to continue thinking of the progress of this city. We have to. Think about the communities around us that did not continue on a progressive forward motion. And consider where they are today. And I'm not going to name parts of cities here, but you all know exactly what I'm talking about. The reason I am sitting here today is because I do not want to see that happen to my beloved city. It's not going to happen if I have anything to do with it. And that's why I'm here, to make sure that that doesn't happen. We're going to continue on a progressive path here in Blue Ash that is going to be, it's going to continue to be a city that people want to come to. They want to come to the park. They want to see what's going on in Blue Ash. And we're going to continue on that path. And yes, maybe we'll table this tonight and we'll think about it. But I will be damned if we get stuck and start going backwards. Not while I'm here. Thank you.
I felt like it was so fun. No, I'm passionate about it. I've been here for a long time. I've lived in Europe for 10 years. I lived in Mason for 10 years. It's not like I don't know anything but Fluish. I've been around. Sorry, but, you know, when you get to be my age, you've been around. And we've got to keep going forward, not go backwards, period.
Yeah, one thing I've been concerned about this project, and I brought it up before, is, you know, the first three developments have all been residential. And I think somebody mentioned it before. You know, we've got Daventry. This may be the fourth on here because we did get Coroner's office. But we've got, you know, on the 100 and some acres, or the 100 acres, we've got Daventry. We've got the proposal for the apartment complex. We've got the senior center. So those first three things are residential. Now, my concern is, when we've always thought about this, and I think Jeff brought it up, is what we voted on that was a development is intended to be a, and I think we've all heard this, but I just want to say, a vibrant employment district that includes supportive residential and commercial amenities. You know, I'm not going to go into all the other stuff, but the concern is, will this really get there? And as Jeff mentioned, the $1.35, which I think is the $1.35 premium or fee that has to be paid per square foot of office building to Cincinnati. Does that stop? Does that inhibit anybody from ever coming here? That's the worry out there. Now, I think, you know, the performance bond is something that I think, at least from my standpoint, does that help that ensure that we get some corporate out there to support the residential? Because I do agree with vision is, but without the corporate out there, it's going to be tough to have a vibrant employment industry out there, employment district. That's what we voted on. We didn't vote on the opposite. So it's a concern. I'm not saying that, and I'm glad that we at least have something here to consider, because without that, I wasn't just on the fence. I probably would have said no. But this gives me something to think about. And so that was one of the things that I think that came out of here that was pretty important. Now, I do think we need to think about it a little bit, at least from my standpoint. So, you know, I would support a table to at least consider it. I don't know if there's any more deliberation. I think I went over what was important. So
I have some comments. I grew up in this area. Been here for a very long time. I've watched Blue Ash change. I moved here to Blue Ash because of the same reasons most of you did. The amenities, how well the city's run, etc. But I also understand that the demographics are changing. Change is going to happen, whether you like it or not. And the millennials or whatever labels for future generations you want to put out there, they think differently than us. That's a fact. They're different. Companies are good. It's no longer where all of us wanted to go work for a GE or a P&G. They now, those companies now go to where the millennials or the workforce is. And with that change in mind, we live here due to the courtesy of all the business folks here in Blue Ash. But they pay all our bills. Police, fire, service department, administration, Parks and Rec. That's a fact. If those companies start to leave, then we have to start making other decisions. None of which are good. You know, it's what amenities do you want to cut? Nobody wants to do that. So we have to keep up with the progression of the changing times, of the changing demographics, and the changing generations to come. You know, and I'll go back, I think, as Linda was saying, back to the beginning, I'm senior one on council now, when the Walt Reesers, the Ray McNabs and such, and the Proctors were, you know, those folks right up there, all here making decisions when Cincinnati, Greater Cincinnati Airport was no longer going to be Blue Ash, all that land became available. And they made the decision they wanted to make this a white-collar business town, not retail, but white-collar business. That's what brought us all our memories. And these same arguments that all of you have a lot of passion for were said back then. It's the same thing. It's just that times have changed, and not all of us like change, but it's changing. And that's the reality. And we have to go with that. I understand all the concerns of apartments. This is really not about apartments. This is about the survival of this city going into the future. This is an opportunity presented to us. And I think we need to take the opportunity. Now, working out the details, I'm impressed that NIAR put forth that $1 million. That's a lot of money. It's a risk. It's a risk that they're taking because they're giving a two-year window to go find a headquarter company to make that business-oriented section of the park work. That's a risk in this economy, and I get that. So I think you've made good progress. So that's where I stand right now.
Anybody else? Anything? I think the $1 million bond is for, that's an economic incentive for a $75 million offer to help some relocation and things like that. So I think that really puts some skin in the game.
You also, well, the other twist to this, and I forgot to mention this, P&G leaves at the end of this year. That's approximately 1,200 jobs going away. That's a big hole. If we can fill that hole via this project, that's wonderful. It's all even. But it also puts us on a path where we need to go. And by the way, P&G's leaving. They're going to Mason. They built their own campus up there. That's what we're talking about, a mixed-use campus atmosphere, walkability and such. They know that that employee base wants that, so that's what they built up there. All that infrastructure is already up there, whether it be apartments or condos, homes, businesses, peripheral businesses, it's already there. That's what we're competing with.
You know, I do have something you kind of brought up. Something rang in my head as you were talking, and I'm kind of curious how other council folks think about it, because even with the $1 million bond, we might not get up in the $1.35 extra that's out there. And I know you guys, you know, there's a little bit of a, will that impact how you can attract folks, how you can't. So, but let's just say it doesn't materialize. Corporate doesn't materialize. How do you guys feel? Does it still feel like if we did the mixed use, that's germane to this city, that's still okay? Does anybody have an opinion on that? Because, yeah, I'm just wondering how you guys think, because the risk here, though, at least I'm evaluating, is what if the corporate doesn't come out of this? Is this something that still is a benefit to Blue Ash to just have the two residential areas and data tree there?
Well, you've already said it before. You're competing with the Liberty Townships, the Oakleys, the Montgomerys, the other ones that are already proceeding with their mixed-use projects, okay? Either we stay up with it or we get behind.
Yeah, so in your case, you think, regardless, and I'm just trying to get other people's feedback here.
Tom, your question is getting into why I'd like to see those numbers professionally.
Yeah, okay.
$1 million, sure, if you deposit that in my bank account, that's a ton of money. But let's say the corporate did not happen, whether it's because of the assessment or something else, then we need to get the question answered, okay, is this $1 million, because then we would have to spend a lot more money to lure somebody there. So then, would this $1 million cover that problem or not? Where does this $1 million performance bond sit in what we would need to get something there in the event that this assessment or anything else was preventing them, or whether they just didn't want to work on it, I don't know. But if something prevents them from getting corporate there, then, you know, how far does this $1 million really take us? That's why I like to see it professionally vetted.
Yeah.
When I see county commissioners get any kind of financial data, what they'll typically do with it is they'll refer it to the county administrator or the auditor, depending on what the issue is, so they can have the professionals in the office run the numbers and get it back to us. That's what I think needs to be done here.
Yeah, I was just trying to get people's thoughts on it. Even if we do that, and if corporate doesn't materialize, so we get $1 million, okay. Does this
what we end up having is 491 apartments. That's still something that's of value to all the other. I just wanted to get your opinion if you thought that it was of some value and something that's really important.
No, that would be exactly what Blue Ash residents don't want.
Yeah, okay.
More standalone apartment complexes. This has been sold to us as a mixed-use development. We got to make sure that's what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I was just trying to get your thoughts and get the conversation here. But I do agree we got to get an understanding of what Power 35 is before we go.
No, I mean, unless I'm misreading people, I'm just getting late. Unless I'm misreading people, we don't have the votes to pass this tonight. So I think, you know, we either need to vote it down and let them come back with a new proposal or table it to the next meeting 2 or 4 weeks from now. I don't think any further discussion is going to move anything.
So nobody does have anything. So my question is going to be, are we talking 2 weeks or are we talking 4 weeks?
Let's answer that question after we talk about the Victor Floral issue. Because I can easily see some unanswered questions that could be coming up there too, especially since the letter we got indicated that the developer there wants to break ground in late January. So
we're focused on this.
Let's say the answer in that discussion, what happens in that discussion may answer the question for us about whether we need a second council meeting later this month. That's my point.
I think there's two different things.
Well, we do need a motion to table from somebody.
Okay.
If we want to table,
I would make the motion to retable it. But the question is, do we want to put a date of 2 weeks?
Well, if you make the motion, we'll either say yes or no.
Okay.
Well, I'd rather have it be a month, if that's what you're asking. I think we can,
we'll make a motion that makes more sense.
I move we table these three items.
Four.
Until we bring them up again. I move we table these items until the next council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying until February 8th?
Whenever the next council meeting is.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No.
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 So we're going to do it then.
2 weeks.
All right, let's try a new motion.
Let's
have a new motion.
Right.
I'd like to make a motion that after our retreat on January 25th, we reconvene here at 7 o'clock to make a vote on this project. Yay or nay?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Anybody opposed? All right, 7 yeses. So we basically just, without doing a lot of verbiage, have tabled 2017-81, 82, and 83. Do I need to do anything else, Brian? Do you think really?
I say this very strongly. I'm putting this out there, but I don't think we should debate this a lot. Let's put ourselves a timer on right now. The one thing that what I heard Jeff say, and I think it's a good idea, is between now and January 25th, so that we're not sitting here debating what the content it is, I suggest strongly that you direct me to work out the details of both of those conditions so that you're not discussing it for another 3 to 4 hours at the next meeting. That we will give it to you, we will put a memo on there, we will explain it to you, and you simply like it or not.
That's
my strong suggestion.
Okay, so that's a separate motion. I'm going to make a motion that we direct the city manager to work with the developer and work through all the details of the performance bond and the apartment rental limit and any other details that are requested by council or council agents or council members. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? 7 yes. That's all I have for you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, well, thank you. First of all, I want to thank everybody. Now, we're not done, but I do want to thank you for sitting through the hearings and the deliberations that we had. And I do want to say, we learned a lot. I do want to at least thank
the developer for the two proposals, something more for us to think about. And, you know, this, we're going to have a vote on this project. And I guess the next, it's at the workshop. The next council meeting is going to be right after it.
We come back here then.
So what I'd like to do now is go to, and so thank you for everybody for having your patience. So the next thing is we're going to go to miscellaneous business. So I'll just see what administration may have. And why don't we start off with
can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Since miscellaneous business is usually an announcement session, basically, I do have one item of like real business that may take some discussion. Can I suggest?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. So, you know, I thought maybe we just start off with that issue. And we had a lot of questions about Victor and the straight through road and whether it should have, what's the legal aspects of it. Could you guys give us where, you know, just what our progress has been so far and maybe where we're at?
Yes, but I'm going to defer my time to Mr. Cattell. I think he sounds like he's really anxious to say something, so I'd like to hear what he has to say on this issue, and then from there we can act accordingly. There's plenty of time for that.
Yeah, I have, you know, a few comments on that, and then since, you know, I'm not entirely sure what all the legal options are exactly, I invite the solicitor and city manager to jump in if you guys feel it's necessary. So last month we were presented with the application to basically build that paper street that would connect Victor with Laurel, and what we were told is that since it is listed as a paper street, if the developer is able to put up the money, then they have the right to do it, and we don't have the right to stop it. So none of us felt like that there's any point in fighting something that you know you can't stop, because that will cost, you know, those many costs to that. So what we started looking at then is how do we mitigate the damage? Because the two items you look at is, one, you're going to take some of the park property, and Hunt Park is already pretty small to begin with, and then you're also going to turn this section of the Victor neighborhood into what right now is a very safe and relatively quiet and enjoyable place to live, and you're opening it up with a through street where you're going to have a whole lot more traffic than you otherwise would. And I know we all did it when we first looked at one of the options of putting in the cul-de-sac, which I guess could have made it a functional dead end. You know, the first response was just, oh, we don't want to take any more of Hunt Park than we already are because it's so small to begin with. But, you know, sometimes the first reaction isn't necessarily the best one. When I had time to go home and think about it some more, research it some more, talk with city staff, other council members, go walk in that area and talk with lots of residents, what I quickly realized is that by far the biggest problem with this proposal is that it's turning that portion of Victor from that quiet, safe, dead end into a through street, which significantly changes the character of the neighborhood, and not in a good way. The people who live there paid extra money to live in that kind of area. If they wanted to live in an area where the ambulance or the fire truck would get there 2 minutes quicker, they could have bought on Hunt Road or Kenwood or lots of other streets and paid less for that same value of house. Right now, Victor Avenue is a very safe way to get to Hunt Park because there's not a whole lot of cars there. People can send their kids out to play in the street, to walk and bike to the park, play games in the streets. So just by far the biggest thing, you know, now that we've all had time to digest the issue and think about it some more, it's clear that the biggest problem there that this proposal generates by far is if you turn that area into a through street. Now, the developer does have the right to build the access to those three new properties. And so what I think we need to just focus on then is what I'd like to figure out is, how can we give the developer the access to those properties that it appears he's legally entitled to have, while still keeping that area from being a through street and thus doing the best that we can to protect that neighborhood. And that's what I'm requesting of council and the administration is that we shift our proposal from what we had mailed out to them to an option where we can do what the residents want and what I'm requesting.
Yeah, I think that's a great summary where you say, hey, we're kind of complying with the law, but perhaps there's some other options that would require a different set of action. We'd also want to double check some of the standards and this and that. And that's all not intended to be bureaucratic speak, because I do want to convey on behalf of council and even the administration and the staff a couple key concepts. One, I don't want anyone in that community to think that this staff and this council, who has spent quite a bit of the last 15 years getting rid of building a lot of parks, are certainly not anti-park. I mean, it's something near and dear to us as evidence of the fact we built a major park and asked people to vote for it. So we'll hear loud and clear your concerns, and so yeah, the answer I think is there is possibly some other ways we can do it. It's going to take us some collective legal hoops to go through and the developer to accept. And so what we were telling you in the past was this is the legally required way to do it, but that doesn't mean that we can't look at some alternatives. And you know, I'm more than happy to do that. We kind of put that out there before. It's all about, you know, what do you want to do? I think before there was an assumption that we don't want people to see a narrative of, well, we gave them parkland for a cul-de-sac, because that's part of what would have to happen. And you know, I could see then a group of people saying, why did you give away parkland? But it might be a trade-off and something for you to consider. It might be a trade-off if it's the lesser of two evils. And so I would suggest simply, you know, hearing the rest of you, where you're at, but it's certainly something we can do. It's just something we would have to. It's not as streamlined and smooth as being legally compliant the way we were required to do it before.
Can I ask one question on that? When he proposed in executive session, there was a whether we give them a little portion of park or we can, they can build those street and connect it with the Victor. And there was another one that we can block the Victor that the car cannot go through. So if we give them the land of a certain portion of the park, how much we are losing?
Yeah, I'd have to calculate that. But I mean, but to answer kind of your first question, yeah, that's just simply a trade-off, and that's the way it is. There's no exact science to this, okay? So the answer is this. The park will not be the same as it is today, regardless of what trade-off. So you're looking at the lesser of two evils, and you're trying to decide which you can live with and which the residents can live with. I heard an interpretation, but I don't want to force it on you, but I heard an interpretation, an understanding, it's going to be different. And so what I wouldn't want is people to say, why did you force one solution when in front of us was a legally obligated solution? And if you want to go outside a legally obligated solution, it would be a creative one, but it is going to require probably some degree of granting property to them. And that's subject to its own set of criticism. People say, you gave away our land, and we're going to have to say, well, we did it because it prevented the rest of this happening. And those are the trade-offs you have to come up with.
Dave, if you want us to instruct you more or less to look at those options and get back to us,
if you
don't need a motion. You just need all of us.
I don't need a motion, but I would like a comfort of a good majority of you saying, yes, that's a good use of your time. If a good majority of you say, no, that's not a good use of your time, I don't want to be spending time on it.
I think that's fine, but you also, is there a time point with this developer that you have to mix into this or not?
Yeah, it's time sensitive.
Well, you have to get on it.
So I think he's saying, Lee, are you saying you're okay?
Yeah.
Mark?
Okay.
Okay. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
So looks like we have council saying, yeah, why don't you go forward with that?
Okay, so we'll work on a couple mitigated solutions is how I'll say it. So.
Oh, one comment on the...
Don't ask me what it is. Don't ask me what it is right now. Nor, the other risk for you is the alternatives that we come up with, there might be a dozen people that don't like that alternative, and then now you're debating which you like. I'm just putting that out there.
That's a real concern that I have to Mr. Peterson and one other person said I don't want to give up one inch of
But
if it's a big no loss of, it's not an open street, we may have to, that's going to be a compromise for sure.
Yeah.
Can't see how it's not going to be a compromise. We're going to have to give up a little bit of that land.
Yeah, I'll restate it, you know, through without being legal, I'll state it that way he's not, and it's not subject to a legal interpretation. But there is an obligation to provide them access to that property.
Right.
And it's going to come through a park.
One comment I have on the cul-de-sac option is, of course, when I first looked at the option, the first time it was presented to me weeks ago, you know, my first thought was, I don't want to give up more of Hunt Park than we already have to for it. Then when I walked through it and then talked to the neighbors who live closest to it, what we found is that portion of Hunt Park that we'd be giving up really isn't used by people. In fact, one neighbor said that it's used by the dogs, but, you know, the dogs don't vote, so... I'm not worried about upsetting the dogs.
I agree with you. Just as long as a new dozen set of people don't show up and say, that was the wrong solution, you should have done the other one. So just be prepared for
that. I did bring up the point that, if we do keep it from being a through street, we probably are going to have to give up that section of the park. And it seemed like, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like overwhelmingly the residents were okay with that.
We'll find out.
Okay.
Okay, so are we done with that piece of miscellaneous business? Okay, so why don't I just go around and see, ask people if they have any further comments. Go with Neil. Anything? Dan?
Brianna?
Gordon?
Just preparing for the incoming snow. Hopefully we don't get much.
Small cyclone?
Chuck?
No, I have absolutely no comments.
Chief?
Nothing tonight, sir.
All right, let's go over to the new chief. Congratulations, by the way.
Scott? Sir.
Sherry? Kelly? Carla?
Nothing tonight.
Okay, David?
Yeah, three announcements. One at the... just a reminder, we do have a retreat, the format for the retreat on Thursday. We will have a speaker, talks about some of the best practices on council actions, working as a team, working as a group. That's Thursday. Friday will be more substantive and project and work plan oriented. So just a reminder of those two items. The other item escapes me, but I want to finish, unfortunately, with a sad note. If you could all just keep Jeannie Eifert in your thoughts. She's not here tonight. Carla's in her stead because her mother recently passed away, so she is making funeral arrangements and what have you.
Nothing there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Linda? Go ahead.
Yeah, just one comment. A number of people have noted that they've had problems hearing back there. I've noticed over the past few months, it seems like the acoustics in here have declined by quite a bit. In fact, I went to the recent site arrangement zoning appeals committee meeting, which, of course, none of us on council are on those committees as regular citizens. So I sat basically in the seat where Dale is right now, and I had a lot of problems hearing what was going on, and it almost sounded like there were no speakers back there at all that were on. So it does seem like it's declined a bit recently, and it may just be something we need
to do. Well, I think we'll get to earlier, Dale, is going to get some of the staff to look at it, get somebody to look at it. It's good to remind us. Did I hear, was it the budget for, did I hear that wrong?
It is in the budget for next year to fix this whole, redo this whole thing. This year.
Yeah, I was just talking to Kathy, and Kathy told me that they did a $25,000 budget.
Yes, sir.
Why?
David's not sure what he's going to be spending here, but he's going to look at it one way or the other. Dave, DJ, do you have any?
Not to be tested, no.
Okay. No? Lee?
I just want to thank everybody for coming tonight, but they're giving us your input. It was appreciated.
Mark?
I just want to apologize to anybody I didn't get back to. I had so much correspondence this week, I did my best. It was a little thick there, so. Did I not get back to you, Carrie? I don't think I did.
Why don't we do that after the meeting? Okay, because it's not like that, but I just want to say thank the folks that have stayed through the whole thing and started off Birdland, so we did get to discuss that, but thank you for going through it. But I'm sure you were interested in listening about the park, and just what I would say on the park, it's not really going to go away. This is here. We just have to decide, where we're at. Are we going to vote for it or not? And even if we vote not, it's still here, and we're going to be discussing it in some way or form. And there's a lot of discussion. Most people laugh, so thank them in their absence. So with that, I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Call the roll. You call the roll, though. Oh, okay.
Vote, boys.
Yeah, boys, what's on?
Boys, oh, great. It's only when we go into executive. Learning more and more. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is it only 7 yeses?
I'm never going to remember that.
Thank you.